Okay. I wanted to look with you at the next question in our devotional book, and it has to do with the Word of God. And I guess this is the thing I want to stress tonight. How wonderful is the Word of God? We sang wonderful words of life. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh doesn't profit. The spirit makes alive. And the words that I speak to you," and Jesus said, "Are you leaving me?" People were dropping off in John 6, and he said to his disciples, "Are you leaving me too?" And Peter had a wonderful answer. "Where should we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Now, we believe that the Bible is God-breathed, and we love God's Word, and we want to love the Word of God more. We want to get to know it because it is God's message to us. It's God's self-revelation. He shows us Himself when we read the Bible and when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts as we look to God, as we read reverently and open our hearts to Him. Now, the passage of Scripture from the Gospels where Jesus asked a question is in Mark chapter 12. And it's a different kind of story. A group of people who were opposers, we could say, of the Lord Jesus and His message. They were called the Sadducees. They came to Him, and they had a question. They wanted to stump Him with a manufactured dilemma. And here's how it goes. "Then come unto Him the Sadducees." Mark 12, verse, man, those letters are small. 18, thank you. "Then come unto Him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked Him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren. And the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her, and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise, and the seven had her, and left no seed." That meant all of them were childless. "Last of all, the woman died also, but they had all been married to her." You know, you get that. "In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife." Now, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And so they were mocking Him and tempting Him with this dilemma. And He answered them with a question. They asked a question. He asked more than one question in this passage. Here, Jesus answering, 24, said unto them, "Do ye not therefore because ye know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." It may help to look at the NIV just a little bit. I'm going to start with Jesus' question. No children, all seven. She had all seven as her husband, and seven for husbands. And what did you tell me about Henry VIII when we were playing ping pong the other day? Was it you? That he liked ping pong? Tennis, okay. And it reminded me of this song I heard, "I'm Henry VIII, I am." Just got married to the lady next door. She's been married seven times before. "I'm Henry VIII." Okay, that's from... Okay, anyway, let's get back to the Bible. Oh, Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. In marriage, they will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him?" Now that account of the bush is when God spoke to him. Remember, we talk about the burning bush and the visit Moses had when he was in the desert from God, when God called him to go to Egypt to deliver his people. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now, if you know the scriptures, then you will not greatly err. In thinking about this, Moses came to that burning bush long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had what? Died, right? So that's why Jesus said, at the burning bush, God spoke to Moses, saying, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken." So Jesus said to them, God is the God of the living. So if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have died, and he is their God, that must mean they're not dead. That there is something after death. You don't believe in it, and you are greatly mistaken. Now, the two questions are these. Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? And then, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said this to him? So, haven't you read the scripture, you Sadducees? And are you not in error, you Sadducees? You don't know the scriptures. You're making up stuff. You're trying to stump me, and you don't know what you're talking about. That was the idea, and he did it in a kind of a nice way by asking questions, right? Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? So what I want to say about that is we don't want that to be a question that can be asked of us. Have you not read in the book of the law? We don't want that to be a question that can be asked of us. We want to know the scripture. It's a wonderful thing to know the scripture. Who's going to look up 2 Timothy 3:15 for me, where Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy? 2 Timothy 3:15. If you have it, I hope you'll let me know you have it, and you have it already. Please read it.
"And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus."
Timothy, you're a privileged young man because your mother and your grandmother taught you in the ways of God. From a child, from infancy, right as soon as your life began, they started teaching you the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings. You're acquainted with them. What an advantage you have. They are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then 2 Timothy 2:15. One chapter earlier, okay? 2 Timothy 2:15. You want to do that one too?
"Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth."
Yes. The Apostle Paul says this to Timothy too, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. And it has to do with studying the Word of God, getting to know what God has said, becoming acquainted with the Scriptures. Now, is that something that excites you at all? The Bible may not have attracted you so much yet. I would like to tonight, the question, by the way, that Tenney poses in his in his book, Who's Boss, that we've been looking at, is, have you done your homework? Have you done your homework? Do we know the scripture? More important than the story about the Sadducees are the questions that Jesus asked them. Because, I mean, more important for us tonight. You are sadly, greatly mistaken because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. And haven't you read this? This would show you that your belief in no resurrection and nothing beyond the grave is all wrong. You say you believe the scriptures. Well, read it. Sometimes you feel like saying that when you hear somebody preaching. That's not what the Bible says. Haven't you read that? Sometimes that happens. Most times not. Most times you get a blessing when you hear a preacher who studied the word of the Lord and is prepared. As one approved, he rightly divides, as we read, the word of truth. The Bible is so precious. So precious. Remember my father telling how as a young boy he wanted to see the lady or the woman preacher about whom Radiant Glory is written. You hear a lot about that book, Radiant Glory. Brother Gordon Gardner wrote it. It's a biography of Martha Wing Robinson. And he was the first director, Gordon Gardner was, of camp. And this was his, he wrote a number of books, but this was his great work, his largest book, and he put the most into it. And we talk about Radiant Glory and about this woman's life and the example of it, the blessing of it, the challenge and inspiration of her experience with God. And well, that's the lady that my father and his brother, his older brother Walter, had opportunity to visit. And they were just children. And when they got there, they were wondering what it was going to be like, what she was going to say to them, if she was going to say something profound. She said something profound, but I mean like up there in the heavenlies. And I think they had to sing something for her, and of course they were very nervous. And if I'm not mistaken, the story goes that one of them flubbed something while they were singing, and the other one said, and we had to start again. And so it was a bit embarrassing, but she didn't make them feel that way. That was the thing. She didn't make them feel that way. They were so comfortable in her presence. But the thing that he went away from that little visit with was that she took the Bible and she held it like this, and she said, "Boys, get to know this word, love this word, study this word. The Lord God will show himself to you if you'll read his word." So, and she held it. That's. I guess it was an object lesson, a picture for him to see her like hugging the Bible as though it were something very, very precious, something she loved very, very dearly. And he always remembered that. And he also said that on the way home, even though he was just a boy, this was the effect that had on him and his brother. Oh God, we want to know you. We want to know you. That was the effect of that little meeting, that encounter with her. Anyway, just want to share with you how precious this word is, and that in order to find its preciousness, we have to give ourselves a chance. We don't argue about it. We don't, look for the things that are difficult or things to discuss. We look for Jesus in the book, because that's right, it's his story. And how to read the Bible. You know, one time I was at a Bible school. By the way, it was the one your son Kenny attended for a while, Long Island Bible Institute. And there was a old-time evangelist preaching there, and that's why Susan and I went there. We wanted to hear Sister Hattie Hammond. She's a well-known evangelist, and she was speaking to the students. And that night, we slipped in the back, and we heard her speak about the Bible. And one thing that she said was, you must learn to love the Bible, and you must learn to read the Bible, and this is the way you want to read the Bible. You want to read the Bible devotionally every day, not the passage for your class that you're studying. That you have to do, of course. If you're studying the books of the law, you have to read them. If you're studying the prophets, you have to read them. You have to get acquainted with them. You have to pass the test or write the paper, yes. But you must also take a passage to read devotionally before the Lord. And this is what I want you to do. Open your Bible to the passage for the day. She encouraged them to do it in the morning. But open your Bible to the passage for the day, and before you read it, stop and look to the Lord. Try to seek his presence. Come into his presence. And then pray this way. I'm about to read from your precious word, O Lord. Pray to God the Holy Spirit. It's a God-breathed word. Say, Holy Spirit, read this to me. I want you, Holy Spirit, to read this to me, that I never could forget that little advice. And many, many years ago, I often do that when I have a little section of scripture that I want to read. Before I read it, maybe I'm very familiar with that passage, but I stop and I say, Holy Spirit, read this to me. And that would also include, show me what you want me to see. Give me revelation, illumination, enlightenment from above. In this passage, help me to see the Lord Jesus, and whatever he wants me to know from this, teach me, teach me, teach me. I'm here to learn from you. I want to learn your ways. I want to know you better. So, Holy Spirit, read this to me. And that was a wonderful lesson for me to hear. I hope all those Bible school students also got hold of that and didn't forget it. Sometimes we don't know just how to approach the Bible. And so tonight I just want to say, it's such a precious thing to get into God's Word, to study it carefully, to get to know it, and then to apply it to our lives. I think here's something in-house. This summer, there were, I think, staffers that asked, how should I read the Bible? You know, they keep telling me, read the Bible, love the Bible, get to know the Bible. How should I start? How should I read? And so this was prepared for just that question to be answered. It was prepared right here. You can see that it's an in-house thing, because at the bottom it gives a weekly prayer chart and it says, Sunday, pray especially for your local church and pilgrim camp. So it was drawn up here. But it tells us how to prepare to read the Bible, how to read the Bible, how to pray after we have read the passage. And there are some really, really good tips, shall I call them, in on this page. I think Brother Paul put this together just to answer the question that was posed this summer. He starts, young people and new Christians sometimes need help in making God's Word a part of each day. The following are some practical guidelines you may find useful. You know, I went into the office to copy one of those songs that we used, when morning gilds the skies, may Jesus Christ be praised, or one of them at the copy machine, and I saw this on his desk. And I started reading it, and I said, I think this is really good. I wonder where this is from. So I found that someone told me Brother Paul did this, and it was in response to a question, a serious question that some young staffers had asked. Yeah, how do I start? What do you mean, read the Bible, study the Bible? Whoa. It's a big book. What do I do? So he put something together for them that I think is so good. I think all of us would like this. How to read the Bible and pray, it says. And so I asked for permission to disseminate this, and I would like to give it to anyone who would like to have one. How to read the Bible and pray. We're giving it out this year to anyone who poses that question or asks. And so I offer it tonight. Anyone who wants this, I would be so happy. But of course, I want you to take it and read it and do it. Yes, do it. I think it's something that you can do. In fact, he quotes Martin Luther just as I did. Martin Luther, before reading the Bible each day, used to pray, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Amen. So this is here for you. I think there are enough copies here for everyone in this meeting. Thank you, Sister Elsie, for doing that for us. Let us sing Thy Word Have I Hid in Mine Heart. 159. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path alway, to guide and to save me from sin, and show me the heavenly way. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Established and fixed on high, faithfulness unto all men abideth forever nigh. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word. portion, O Lord, and shall be through all my days. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Before we sing the last verse, something comes to me. I hope everyone understands why that evangelist at that Bible school said, ask the Holy Spirit to read the Bible to you. I'm not going to ask you to answer that question. I'll give the answer. The reason is that the Bible is spiritual. And the natural mind, the natural man, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. The Bible is a book like no other book, and therefore it must be approached like no other book. I read, you know, I remember reading A Tale of Two Cities, and I had to get to know it, and I think it was in 10th grade. It went along with the history course we were taking. And that was different. And by the way, that's a great book by Charles Dickens. I recommend it highly. It's boring at the beginning, and you just plug through it. It gets better. But the Bible gets better, too. The more you get to know Jesus, you love his word, and you love his commandments. They're not grievous. They're a joy. To fulfill his will becomes your deepest desire and greatest joy. But the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the natural man. Therefore, that's why she said, ask the Holy Spirit to read to you. And it's through that the Apostle Paul teaches us that when we receive the Spirit of God, we can come into an understanding of the things that are freely given to us by God. That means all the rivers of his grace. We come to him and we here are the things freely given to us. We can possess them. We can believe for them. We can receive Christ in his fullness. We can be blessed beyond measure. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. And I had professors, by the way, when I went to, you might not believe that I ever went to college, but I did. It was a long time ago. That's why it doesn't show. But anyway, they really knew the Bible. They really knew the Bible, and yet their hearts and minds were closed to the light of God's truth. And they knew so many things. The professor that I had for British history, I had a course on the Tudors and the Stuarts, and by the way, Henry VIII was in there. But anyway, she knew all the theological developments, all the scriptures to back them up, why the arguments that arose. She knew all of that. It was fascinating. It was fascinating to sit in her class. She knew so much, but she didn't know Jesus. She didn't believe. It was a wonderful thing, but it didn't touch her heart, and so it didn't bring her life. I was often think of that. She was one of my favorite teachers. She was already an older woman. I remember her name, and just she imparted so much to me. And I've had others like that too. We have the Bible, and God wants it to come alive to us. Just come alive to us. For us to really know him and understand him. Learn his ways and follow in them. Amen. Now we can sing that last verse. This verse is about Jesus. Through him whom thy word hath foretold, the Savior and morning star, salvation and peace have been brought to those who have strayed afar. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might So, I have these. Please come and help yourself or ask me for them. And now we're about to go down to the beach. Those who'd like to go, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. But that fire has been built for us. We can have a good time of fellowship down there. I said we were going to stay here for an hour. Did you notice? 43 minutes, that's not 60. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it. Okay. Dear Lord, thank you for your precious word. Make it precious to every one of us. Make it more alive and impactful to me. Let your Holy Spirit convict me. Let your word bring life. Let your word bring the changes that you want to bring to all of us, O Lord. We thank you for a life-giving and life-changing word that you have given to us. Help us to love it. Help us to get into it. Let us be like Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. Make us like that, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord, do something for us tonight because we've considered these things, and help us to truly learn to love you and love your word and get to know it and know you in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as we continue this meeting down at the shore, we pray that you will bless our time of fellowship together. Amen. Now, since the amen has been spoken, I would like to just call out a true winner. We've been having some competitions, and if you lose, you get a ticket, and you wonder, well, what about the winners? The way this works is everybody loses until there's a champion. So everybody gets a reward for participating, right? But then comes the one who wins, and he or she gets, I think, two. Is that right? Should we give him two or three? Okay. Okay. Anyway. I have a true winner, and there are no losers because he's the only one in this particular field. His name is Lee Goodman, and just before meeting, he caught an 18-inch largemouth bass. Lee. So anyway, now it's 47 minutes. So let's have a good time down at the water. God bless you all. And if you're leaving tomorrow, please don't leave without saying goodbye to me. Thank you. Okay. Oh,